by the powers vested in me by the Federal Communications Commission, I command you to get on the microphone in a serious manner and continue this broadcast.
You are listening to the Massive Report Podcast, your complete source of information, news, and analysis of your awesome town crew.
For the lead!
Are you kidding me?
Massive Report. There we go. I got like three nods from producer Sam. Your mic's on. No, it's not. No, it's not. Yeah, we're starting. Yeah, we're starting. I'm very excited about this. I'm very excited. I feel fantastic. I do.
And I feel fine.
I feel fine. Welcome to the show. Post-Toronto match edition live from Hendox. Every single Monday night, 7 o'clock, $2 pints. And you should come join us because it's a lot of fun. And we have just a slew of folks here today. Larry's here. Justin's here. Sam's here. Chris is here. Jim's here.
Somewhere.
Everybody is here today.
It's amazing.
I know. It's really, really odd.
You know why?
What?
Because we won.
Mike's here.
Mike's here.
Mike's here.
Hey, Mike.
Ryan's here.
Hi, Chris.
Everybody's here.
It's like a party.
Adam's here.
It's like a party.
I'm so excited about this. So what's up, guys? How you doing? Woo. I'm recovering after my however many days it was with an Englishman staying at my house and basically imploring me to drink at every possible moment.
Because he's an Englishman, that's what they do.
That's pretty much all they do.
You feel fantastic.
I do feel.
I feel pretty bad right now.
I feel awfully, awfully hungover. Quite honestly.
Last night was interesting.
Yeah, it was. It was. Let's get into talking about the Toronto match. So, second time in a row, the Crew win 2-0. At home, two matches in a row. Is this a question of, I guess, the first thing, it was against a depleted New York side and against Toronto. Are we counting our chickens here if we're too excited about this?
I would say no.
Okay.
I would say that those are two quality wins. New York may have been depleted. They're still one of the best teams in the East, and a win is a win is a win.
Yeah.
Is a win.
Is a win.
And Toronto, though they are lowly,
yeah,
and though they are not so good, they still played a soccer game against the Columbus Crew, which the Columbus Crew was victorious. So again, a win is a win is a win. We got 6 points out of a possible 6 points, which is all we can really hope for.
That's the first time that's happened in a two-game stretch all season.
Yeah, I believe since, what, September of last year?
Yeah.
You have to go back last year.
Yeah.
Middle last year.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so... I feel like the college freshman at the party who's smoking dope for the first time and doesn't know what to do with their hands. I don't know what to do with myself right now.
I'm not 100% sure.
Am I allowed
either.
To say dope on the show?
Yeah, you're allowed to say
dope
on the show.
Cool.
Yeah, you're fine. You're fine. Larry, bring us down to earth a little bit more.
I'm with Chris. I mean, in this league, a win's a win. I mean, you're always playing a team that's missing somebody.
Yeah.
You know, you're always playing a team that's down the table.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and you know, the Crew proves you can lose those games.
Yeah.
So
they proved it time and again.
Handily, I might say.
Yeah, I mean, their last road win actually was the middle of May, was against Toronto. That was their last time they went on the road. So it's been six games or so. So
we're done with Toronto for the entire
year. We are, thank God.
Yeah. We're done with them.
One thing about Toronto,
Australia belongs to us.
Again. It looked like Toronto was trying to get better.
Yeah.
You know, if there's any excuse for the Crew winning this game, you know, Higuain, is, besides he's outstanding, is that it looked like Toronto was trying to do something, like play better.
Yeah.
Because it, seen Toronto a few times this year, and they're just a really messy team. They try to get goals through mistakes, you know, counters, stuff
they are
like that.
They're big on the garbage ball.
Yeah. And it, this game, it looked like they were trying to have hold possession. I mean, the Crew were pretty dominant, but they, no matter what the Crew were doing, Toronto would get the ball, be patient. They couldn't do anything once they got over, you know, close to the Crew side of the of things. But, I mean, they stuck with it. They're also playing an open-style game. The big thing for me is that they weren't hacking people down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think they only ended up with seven fouls.
Yeah, seven fouls.
That's amazing. Toronto had, yeah. For a team that's that far down the table, only have seven fouls?
No. That's insane. That's well, and if you look at it, you're with the possession thing, Toronto actually did have just a bit, but did have more possession than the
yeah.
Crew.
Yeah.
It was 50.4 to 49.6.
It seemed like the Crew were really just dominant.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not saying possession is a way to assert that, but it seemed like the Crew always had the ball.
Well, the Crew more than doubled attempts on goal. Tripled shots on target.
Yeah.
It was...
That stat in and of itself, that we tripled them up on shots on target,
yeah.
I don't care that we're talking about Toronto, just the fact that we put more shots on target than the other team,
yeah.
That's huge for this Crew team.
Yeah. Well, it seems, and really, you know... Other than a couple of yellow cards, I mean, kept out of disciplinary. I thought that Danny O obviously ended up being a really good substitution at a good time,
right?
Coming in, stripping the ball away, and creating the beginning of that run that led to the chip from Higuain. Federico Higuain has scored four out of our last four goals.
Yes,
I just want to let that just kind of settle in for a second. Has he figured out
three? From the run of play.
Three, yes. From the run of play, yes, which is even more
that's impressive.
Frightening.
Somebody should look up how many of the total goals from the run of play he scored this year.
It's quite a few, I would guess. Yes.
He scored four penalty kicks.
Yeah.
And then he has
five penalty kicks
from the run of play.
Yeah. Since Anthony Precourt has owned the Crew,
yeah.
Federico Higuain has scored four goals in two games. That means that if Anthony Precourt owns the Crew for all of next season... Federico Higuain will have a million goals.
No.
It's math. They can't argue with
no, wait, it is.
I'm just saying.
It's not a million math. Goals.
That's
it's
science.
It's 78.
Well, we're looking up the records right now. I don't think anybody...
78 goals.
It is science. It's a million. I don't care. Stop arguing with science, Chris.
Sorry.
But no, if you look at that... in taking into account the fact that, you know, obviously, yes, we talked about a couple of depleted sides. Toronto, obviously, always depleted, no matter what. That's pretty much... That's
their M.O.
That's really their M.O.
It's right.
Just... But New York, you know, without Henri, without some of their other guys, you look at that, they still did manage to put quality games together, and they still did manage to do what they needed to do in order to get, you know, get the ball in the net at the right time. What does this say about... I mean, we're going into Salt Lake. Salt Lake is for all accounts and purposes, what Anthony Precourt wishes the Crew was, you know, and what a lot of people, I think, wish the Crew were, as far as success goes and as far as marketing and attendance and that sort of stuff. But you go into that game at Rio Tinto. It's going to be a packed house. It's, you know, it's one... is it the last West Coast game we played this year?
I hope so.
I think it is,
yeah.
We play at Dallas. That's not a West Coast game, but it's a West Coast.
But I mean, that's still Central Time Zone. I mean, this is, you know, at least Mountain Time. That's I guess it's the last time that we venture past the Central Time Zone for the rest of the season. If you look at that, if they can come out of Salt Lake, I mean, we'll get into the Salt Lake game and delve into that a little bit more. I mean, that's where it shows that it's something legit is happening.
Well, you know, Chris mentioned, thank God we don't play Toronto anymore. I mean, I think he's saying that just because we don't want to, you know, the smell.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we're going to want to play a team like Toronto coming up in a few weeks.
Yeah.
Well, we've got New England.
Well,
yeah.
New England's getting better. I mean, Charlie Davis hasn't even, we don't know what he can do. But
Juan Agudelo.
Yeah, and I mean, he's going to be joining them. And we're going to get them the last two games of the season. But, you know, if you think about the next few games, you have At Real Salt Lake.
We don't play DC anymore.
No, we don't play.
Oh, God.
We don't play any of these really crappy teams.
Yeah.
I mean, the one team that you can kind of throw into that mix that might be a winnable game would be Chicago. Like,
yeah.
A team that's kind of comparable to us would be Chicago. I mean, we have a tough road to hoe here in the last 10 matches of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
God, there's only 10 matches left.
Just 10 left.
Yeah.
You can't look at it like that, though. I mean, I think, like, the one game at a time approach to this is the only way that you can possibly salvage something out of this season.
Well, I liked what you put on Massive City the other day is this is the playoffs.
Yeah.
Right. The playoffs have started because, honestly, we lose a couple more games and it's done.
Yeah. We tie a couple more games.
Yeah.
Mathematically, I think it's three.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it's, yeah.
Don't say that.
Which puts no pressure.
No pressure at all.
None.
But see, Real Salt Lake lost last week.
Right.
And they lost
Two nights ago.
Yeah, and a tremendous game by Robbie Keane.
Yeah.
Without any help from the referees, we should add. I mean, he played a tremendous match, and they won 4-2. But I think it was 4-2. Was it 4? Yeah, it was 4-2.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, Real Salt Lake is, I think they're going to come into this match with a newfound emphasis on winning.
Yeah.
Right? And so they're going to want to go for 3 points.
Mm-hmm.
And the Crew, there was a moment after the game against Toronto. There was a few moments after the game against Toronto, but one moment after the game really sticks with me is what Robert said after the match while we're sitting there watching the big screen. And in his press conference, I think he said something along the lines of, "My focus is on winning."
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I'm glad that started.
Well, it's like...
Two in a row.
Well, no,
so we're going to have a couple of teams focused on winning coming into this game.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good. Well,
I just thought I would throw that out. That
the
Robert
hell has he been focusing on for the last 6 months?
Do you
months?
Have the quote?
Yeah, I have the quote. Robert's quote was, they asked him about his 70th career regular season win. He said, "I'm about winning, but winning with the club. It doesn't mean anything to me personally, to be honest with you. It's nice to win games, but the most important thing for me today is to win the trophy. We won the Trillium Cup, presented by Scotts, which is something."
To be fair, presented by Scotts was in brackets.
It was in brackets.
Yeah, he didn't actually say that, although it would have been much funnier if he did.
We won the Trillium Cup, which is something that we talked about before the game. Again, we're glad that started. And that's the first trophy this year. You always want to win trophies. Anything for me is just winning. Anything for me is just winning the game and knowing that the team is playing well. It was nice to watch, and I'm happy for the performance.
Every single time he says "presented by Scotts," Mike Malo runs out with a check for $5 and hands it to him.
No, but Justin brings up a good point. And Chris Dorn, during the broadcast, who is a great addition to the team, he's no Duncan Auten, but he's doing pretty well.
Yeah.
Chris Dorn, during the broadcast, Dwight and he were talking about how the Crew needs to perform over the last stretch of the season. And do you go for wins at home, ties on the road? Do you go to win out? Whatever. And Chris Dorn said, you're never going to hear a coach in any professional sport say to his guys before the game, "Well, let's just go out and get a tie, fellas."
Yeah.
Or, "Let's just go out and do the best we can." Every coach coaches to win. And
Well,
yeah, right.
Are we sure about that?
Yeah, and my first thought was, have you talked to Robert lately? And secondly, thanks, Captain Obvious. But no, it is a very good point that this team needs to be focused on winning, and there can't be any halftime pep talks like, "All right, boys, it's 1-1. Let's just hold on to this tie." It needs to be, "All right, boys, it's 1-1. Let's go out and finish this off. Let's go out and do this thing and make our playoff push."
Yeah.
Yeah. They're well beyond the point where they can't think like that anymore, where a tie is good enough. I know we sort of knock on him throughout the year that he likes to play for the tie, but the fact is he hasn't gotten a tie in.
Yeah, when's the last time we
games?
Tied?
It's been a long time. And so, he's built this team to go up by one and then hold it, just like the last two games. So, it's
So there's somebody.
Yeah,
that's not me.
Interesting.
That's not me either.
That's Justin.
Oh, that's me. I'm sorry.
It's Justin.
That's Justin's iPad.
I got nothing going on over here.
Yeah, Sam's pointing at me, and I'm like, no, I'm looking up a stat. And my phone's muted.
Are we going to have to pay someone rights for that little...
We are.
And I'm ordering Chinese, so I have no time.
or money.
We're very vested in this show tonight, so everyone's aware. Very vested.
You were
so
saying...
I was just saying, I mean, they're well beyond that. Even though they haven't been getting ties, which is what they shoot for on the road, they have to win. They can't lose more than 3 games or even draw a couple.
Which is... W's. If you think about it, and let's say that today is the start of the MLS season. and we are now playing a 10-game season in order to get the playoffs. If the goal is to win 60% of our upcoming games, that doesn't seem so insurmountable. We have to win 7 of the next 10.
You're talking about the worst they can do is like 7 wins, 1 draw.
Right. You know, if they go 7-1-2,
yeah,
you know, 1 draw because I'm an American, or even, dare I say, 7-2-1, or maybe even 6-2-2.
Yeah.
I think we'd all be happy with that over the next 10 games.
Well, yeah. More than happy. That would be one of the best runs any team's had this year. And so that
There is an 85% chance, according to sports club stats, that we will finish in either 7th or 8th place.
Well, that means there's a 15% chance we'll finish higher or lower than that. So
there
I'm okay.
is. There yeah. is. Yeah, there's a... There's
but at what point...
So you're saying there's a chance.
What the nice thing is with Toronto, there is a 99% chance that they'll finish in 9th.
Hey.
And with DC, there's a 95% chance, or excuse me, yeah, 95% chance that they'll finish in 10th.
No, good. So not to take it off on a completely different tangent, but if you were to say, okay, 7 wins out of the next 10, that for this team, okay, is probably not an achievable goal. I mean, is there a conversation to say, okay, we need to get these players in that we're going to be playing next year? This is a very valuable time. You can't. I mean, these kind of games, they don't grow on trees. I mean, it's like... Very valuable.
I think if you get to the point where the season becomes a mathematical impossibility,
yeah.
I think at that point, right. yes, then you do get your youth guys out. You do get a lot of your guys that you're developing. You do, but at the time, if you see that there's still a chance, that there's still a fundamental chance that it can happen, no matter how slim it is, and all of a sudden you're like, well, let's put the C squad out.
Yeah.
I think that you'd have a riot on your hands.
Yeah, and I don't think that we have to have that conversation until we lose a game. I think if we lose at Salt Lake, then we have that conversation, but we don't have that conversation until we start losing.
Yeah.
And when I say start losing, I mean lose one game.
Well, you know, there's that. All right. Sunny times for everyone. We'll come back in just a second after Sam devours his Chinese food. Or at least orders it, one of the two. We'll come back and we'll talk a little bit more. This is the Massive Report live at Hendox. Segment 2 of the Massive Report. You're welcome, Sean O'Dell. I went to Cedar Point with him on Tuesday, and basically he was like, you should play Skull Crusher Mountain as a bump. That was pretty much our entire conversation for the 2.5-hour drive to Sandusky.
Yeah, I was going to say that. I bet a trip to Cedar Point with Sean O'Dell is a life-changing experience.
It really is.
Yeah.
It really is.
I can't imagine that guy in the Magnum.
I rode next to him on the Magnum.
I can imagine.
It was fantastic.
Could you see me and him in the same car on the Magnum? The thing wouldn't make it. Like it wouldn't. It set speed records because we're both so big.
There were small children that thought he was going to tear down the park when we walked in. He was like, I'm so excited.
Anyway. Before we get into this, I do just want to say that recording here from beautiful Hendox Pub.
You're going to say the same thing.
In awesome town. Oh, I'm totally going there. Yeah. On this gorgeous autumn Monday evening here in Columbus, Ohio, with the OSU students coming back yesterday.
I love move-in week,
man. I mean, the scenery from here is always amazing. Well, but tonight, the scenery.
Most of them could be your daughters.
But...
I've heard rumors about paternity suits in the mid-'80s, something along those lines. I'm not 100% sure, but
actually, at this point, it would be the early 90s.
Oh God, it would, wouldn't it?
Mid-'90s.
Yeah, we were all in third grade when these girls
were. Some of them could be my daughters.
Yeah.
But really, you look outside and
it's not probable.
I mean, putting that whole aspect aside as fast as possible. I mean, you look outside and it's like the endless parade of entertaining humanity. That
it really is. And every Monday night, we have a great view of the world around us.
Oh, yeah.
But tonight, it's just extra spectacular.
It looks like someone it's tagged like doing the Today Show sign, too.
That's sad.
The blue bubble sign has been tagged by gangs.
Saturday morning, I was... by gangs,
yes. Was it BBJ?
Saturday morning, I'm out on the porch behind my house, and I live near Cruz Stadium, but also still definitely in a campusy area.
Right.
I'm outside, and my girlfriend's outside, and she just starts pointing and just jumping up and down, and she goes, "Is that a walk of shame? Is that a walk of shame?" And she was just so excited. She was just like, "It's
you're walking for shame."
That's the best part about school being back in session.
Classic Volvo.
I'm sorry. Oh.
Yeah.
This entire second segment is just going to be us talking about things we see. It's going to be like a Randy Newman song.
That's great. When my wife and I walked out of the house this morning to walk to work, the first thing we saw was a can of Budweiser, a pack of Marlboros, and a can of Yingling in our front yard.
Really sorry I passed out your lawn.
Yeah. And I'm like, I said unkind things about college students in general.
It really is. That's campus's state flower or regional
flower. No. It's like those red plastic cups.
Solo cups.
Yeah. There are groups of us who, on the weekends, we collect them, and then we drive them to Bexley and Upper Arlington and leave them in the yard.
Can I hang out with you more?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, good. Cool.
I'm glad, though, you said a can of Yingling and not a can of, I don't know.
PBR.
Well, no, I was just saying, like, baked beans.
So I have to tell you one more story, and then we're going to get into the reason that we started the second segment, which is to talk about the crew. But I'm walking here today from my house, and I'm walking down Clinton. And I'm at Clinton and Summit. And this girl, and I could tell that she was a freshman, and I could tell, like, this was her first time driving around anywhere near campus.
Right.
And she pulls in and parks. And she starts, like, screaming at me through a closed window. And she's like, "Sir! Sir!" And I finally look over, and I'm like, "Are you talking to me?" And she goes, "Yeah." And I go, "Roll the window down, hon." And so she rolls it down. And she's right at the intersection there. And she goes, "Can I park here?" And I go, I kind of look up and down. I don't see any no parking signs. And I go, "I think so, but you should probably be," because she's already got him parked and the keys out of the car. I'm like, "You should probably be closer than 3 feet to the curb."
Could have said, "Well, you did."
Yeah, you did.
You already have.
In a metaphysical, like, actual existential way, you philosophical way, you did just park here.
Yeah. You are able.
Welcome to college.
Good job, hon. Start making adult decisions.
Her head explodes.
Yeah. Right.
Am I going to be graded for this?
Do I get credit?
This is why Justin's not allowed within 100 feet of any of the
syllabus?
Dorms.
Yeah. Which is an entirely different reason that everyone else here is not allowed within 100 feet.
Totally.
Yeah.
I don't associate.
Sorry, Abby.
So I didn't specify said reasons.
Yes. There's quite a few of them.
Anywho.
So, Jim.
Crew soccer.
First crew game in however long it was.
It's the summer, right? First game of the summer?
It's the first crew game since, I don't know, probably April.
Yeah.
Right? Somewhere in there. Yeah.
Well, seeing as this is apparently your last hurrah with us for a little while as you're going to start playing tennis on Monday nights.
Yeah.
Apparently that's more important than coming on the show. Give me kind of the rundown. You have a story, apparently.
Oh, well, I made a new friend, sort of. it was this weird experience. The only reason that I even went to the game is because somebody at my birthday party gave me two tickets to the game. And I'm like, well, it's Toronto. What the hell?
That's all we have to do is give you tickets?
Well, yeah. Okay. And then because
I need a dollar from everyone.
And then because I lost a bet to my friend Graham at said party, I had to take him to the game. And so
your punishment for losing the game was actually attending with your friend.
To hang out with Graham.
That's the state of Columbus Crew right now.
Yeah, that was that. And he's, I don't even know if he's been to a game all season. He may have been to one, I don't know. And it was his first game. Okay, it was his first game. And so we're watching the game. We walk in right as the first goal has been scored. And so we're standing over. We're over one.
I'm not even going to touch that one. Wasn't the first goal scored in like the 40th minute?
No, the 20th minute.
Still, you were 20 minutes.
We were in the parking lot drinking beer.
Okay. Yeah. So you're good hooligans.
Yeah. So like half a Nordeca.
Right.
Anyway,
yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. And so we're standing over the Nordeca, and I look over and I see a guy in a shirt, a jersey I don't recognize, and I'm like, Graham, is that a Crystal Palace shirt? And he's like, I don't think so, but I'd have to look at the crest. And we got a little look at the crest, but the guy was standing like 30, 40 feet away from us, and so we couldn't tell. So the next thing I know, Graham is over there walking. He's like talking to this guy, and so I go over, and it turns out it's a Hajduk Split shirt.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
cool. And the guy is from Split.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Oh, it's this story.
Yeah.
I saw this on Facebook.
Yeah, yeah. And so we ended up spending most of the rest of the game hanging out with him and his girlfriend and this other couple, and it turned out that the guy and the other couple had taken a bunch of classes in the department where I work and knows one of the grad students I know. And so I'm like, oh, well, here, let me text him and blah, 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 blah.
Right.
Yeah. But the guy from Croatia spent part of the game trying to convince me that I need to retire to Split when
in Croatia.
In Croatia. Croatia, yes, because I said that there's basically three things that I want where I retire, and I want a beach, a golf course, and a football club I can bitch about. And he said,
those are really good criteria.
Yeah, those are.
I'm going to be a great old man, and you shut up.
What do you mean going to be?
Yeah, what do you mean going to be?
It's okay, Jim. I'm going to be a great old man just like you.
Yes. I like golf and gardening and drinking coffee and bitching about sports.
Yep.
Yes. So that's my – and apparently the first Higuain goal was really good, and the second one was magnificent. I actually got to see that one.
The first one was very much right place, right time, yeah. But I have a feeling that any of the other 9 field players on the team would have pooched it.
Perhaps, yeah.
Had they been in the right place at the right time, either pooched the shot or passed the ball. Yeah. So, yeah, it's a good thing Higuain was there. But the second goal – wowzer.
Yeah. And not to get all maudlin about it, but it was the first game that I've been to in a while, and it was the first time that it was a unique experience for me because I've always actually either been in the regular seats where I sit or in the Nordeca, and it's the first time that I just sort of hung out without trying to, like, you know, to do things that I would normally do.
Right.
And one of the great things about it is that I saw a lot of people that I don't ordinarily see. And it was a great experience, and not just because we won and not just because I met new people. It's because I saw all these other people that I don't ordinarily see, and it was beautiful.
That's a really good point about the kind of the place that the crew is in as a team right now, is that we as supporters, we still show up for games and we still do what we can to get the crowd going and everything, but we're only there because it's what we're supposed to do on Saturdays, and we're there to support the boys, and we kind of just hang out now. You know, when the team is winning and going gangbusters, we're there to cheer them on and do all that stuff, and we still cheer them on, but we also just kind of hang out with our friends. Like, Matt, you and I were in the front row of the Nordeca, which we hardly ever do anymore.
Yeah.
But we're like, hey, screw it, whatever, let's go hang out in the front row.
Yeah. I'd teach some kids how it's done.
Exactly. And that was
pretty much my MO there.
Yeah, our entire MO was to teach the new kids who bought all their gear at Homage and think that the Columbus Crew is new to town.
Yeah.
We wanted to teach them some history and teach them a lot of things. And that's I noticed a lot of people doing that, just kind of hanging out and enjoying themselves rather than being diehard go for the club. And I'm pretty sure Justin's going to smack me for that, but I think you know what I'm saying, is that it's a lot more fun to be a Crew fan when the world isn't riding on everything. You know, does that make any sense to anybody?
I get where you're coming from. I definitely do. I mean, if you're, you know, it's the same reason why I enjoy going to Clippers games.
Right. It's a fun thing to do.
A Clippers game for me is not life or death experience.
Exactly.
To overplay that hand.
Right.
I think what you just said, I might be wrong, was that
Justin's going to hit you during
the break. It's a lot more fun when most of the people in the supporter section don't know what the hell's going on.
What I'm saying is it's a lot more fun when we realize that the team is going to do what the team is going to do, and we're just there to have fun. We, as people who have been around for a long time. And, like, for example, Matt and I went to the front row, which is what we don't normally do. Normally, I sit at the top of section 141 so I can watch the game, right? So I can see what's happening on the field. From the front row of where the hooligans sit.
I get yelled at by the front office if I stand at the top anymore, so now I have to go into the section.
But
then I have to watch the game all over again on TV because I have to do this podcast on Monday.
Right.
Because I can't see.
Because you can't see what's going on the field. Even though you're in the front row, you can only see what's going on in the 10 yards in front of you. So we were like, you know, me, I'm not going to speak for you, Matt, but I was like, screw it, I don't care what happens on the field, win, lose, or draw, I'm still going to cheer for the team. I might as well use this time to go down and teach the new kids something.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I'm not saying that it's more fun when nobody cares. I'm saying it's more fun when it's not life and death for me personally.
For you personally.
For me personally. And I know Matt feels the same way.
Well, and for me, it was basically just because regardless of what you guys talked about in the first segment, you know, I'm sort of going into this, or Saturday I was sort of going into it with, well, you know, the Toronto's really terrible and it's very likely we could beat Toronto, but we're still probably not going to make the playoffs. And so effectively the season is over. At least that was the mindset I was going into.
I'm right there with you.
Yeah. And so for me, the fact the team played well and the fact that Higuain scored a gorgeous goal and the fact that we won, those were, rather than being central to my crew fan experience, that was the dessert.
Right.
And the main meal was actually seeing people I haven't seen in 2 or 3 months.
Yep.
And you know, walking around the stadium, because it's been a tradition of mine since Crew Stadium has been Crew Stadium that at halftime of almost every match, I make a circuit around the stadium. I walk around the stadium.
I'm not allowed to do that anymore either.
Yeah, well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Matt, are you allowed to do anything other than go to your seat and stand?
That's pretty much it.
Okay. They basically pull out the, like, Hannibal Lecter.
Yeah, they really do.
Strap you in that thing and wheel you around the stadium?
Because
you know
awesome.
What? They could raise money by let's wheel Matt around the stadium.
We walked in, Jazz and I, when we were going in, she wanted to get a Polish boy from Yellow Boy, and he wasn't there on Saturday.
Yeah, he was.
Well, then we missed him.
He was in a different set. They moved
him. Okay, we missed him then, and that's I was really sorry, Marcus, if you're listening. I apologize because we wanted to go get a Polish boy from you. So we ended up instead going around the Nordeca side. We usually go the other way.
Right.
We usually just go up on the ramps of the elevator, one of the two,
yeah.
And go up on that side and then walk around. We didn't. We walked around the other side. And she wanted pizza or something because we couldn't find Marcus. And so we went and we got pizza. And we're walking, and I'm not paying attention. I'm on my phone, or I'm talking to her, and I'm not paying attention. But literally, one of my favorite CSC reps apparently just came to a dead stop and just stared at me the entire time.
Wait,
as I was walking by.
Actually, well, like a guy that you're friends with?
No.
Or, okay,
no,
so
no, the other
facetiously
guy.
Favorite
yes,
guy.
Yes, facetiously favorite guy.
Okay.
And Jazz goes, that guy wants to murder you. And I go, who? Because I didn't see him. Like, I really wasn't paying attention. I was just walking and going to the beer stand so I could get a beer before I went in. And I turn around and I see my good friend walking away at that point. And she goes, he literally came to a dead stop and just stared at you for about the last 2 minutes.
Wow.
And so, yeah. So that's why I can't walk around the stadium
okay.
anymore.
Jack and Yingling.
Yeah.
Oh, what? Kids just walked by with a case of Jack and a bottle of Yingling.
Nice.
No, sorry. Oh. A case of Yingling and a bottle of Jack.
There you go.
Switch that.
Well, kind of like
a case of Jack and a bottle of Yingling would be
awesome.
Yeah. That would be pretty awesome as well.
That's a better party in my book.
Kind of like what you were talking about, too, about like teaching the new people.
The kids
and stuff.
We're going to call them kids because that's derogatory.
Well, I kind of thought that this was going to happen after the Houston match, right? That we were going to have a really fun next couple of games.
Yeah.
Like the New York game I just expected was going to be a blast. It was. But one of the things that happened during the New York game, we went down to the front of the section, kind of got things going as best as we could. And yeah, I think, I don't know if I mentioned this last week, but one of the first things that I heard from somebody walking down there with their Columbus Till I Die shirt was, wow, you guys sure like soccer.
Oh, yeah, you did mention that. Yeah, yeah.
And I kind of looked at her and was like, yeah, we do. And then, but spent the rest of that time kind of teaching that person some stuff.
Right.
You know, I'm just imagining, like, I'm like at a concert, because I go to concerts occasionally.
Yeah.
That's where you've
You're
been.
You're not the guy, are you?
Well, no, I'm just imagining it's like, you know, I'm at a concert and, like, you know, I like know the words to the songs the band is playing or something like that, and somebody's saying, wow, you like music a lot, don't you?
That's kind of what it was.
You really like this band, don't you?
Yeah, that's why I paid $55 to see them, dumbass.
I mean, yeah,
Right. And get off my lawn, by the way.
That's what I should have been. I should have been like, what? How did I get here?
Right. You should have been like, who are you?
Stop touching me.
What am I wearing? Oh, my God.
I thought we were at a golf match.
I've been in hypnosis, and you guys must really like soccer was the code word to snap me out of hypnosis.
Wait.
Thank you.
No one here's a Big Lebowski fan because no one else came up and thought of the line, obviously you're not a bowler.
Yeah. But see, like, I think the point of this is that, I mean, you have to be willing to treat those kids with a little bit of kids. I don't like using that word.
Kid gloves.
Yeah, you have to be able to.
It works.
To express to them what it is that you're doing there.
Initiates.
And they initiate. And
they're
they
not
understand
kids, they're
it.
Initiates.
Right. And then they
Noobs,
learn.
Pledges,
they learn. And I.
Pledges.
The question though is this: are those people going to come back regularly? Yeah. Probably not. So do you? Why make it a bad experience for them?
Yeah,
exactly.
But the other thing is this: it's really important. I am on this kick for years now. It's so important that not be the face of the Nordeca. I truly believe this. It's really, really important that when you have somebody who's walking around with a Columbus Till I Die shirt, that they know that is a Columbus Crew thing. I can't tell you how many times over the last few years I have gone to ComFests and said, hey, nice shirt. And those people have no freaking clue what that is.
There are the majority of people that I run into wearing those shirts have no
right.
idea.
And so the
red ones.
Yeah, the red ones. Yeah.
But the issue then becomes that's fine when you're outside at a club or at a bar, because this particular style of t-shirt is very popular amongst the scene kids, put it that way, the scenes of Columbus. That's fine for those scenes.
Those who take pictures of their food.
When you're in the corner, when you're in the front row of the Nordeca, you need to know some stuff.
Yeah, you need to know why
get asked to move by someone who's there to pay attention to the game or to support the team, then the rest of the people around those people need to understand why.
Yeah.
Because I'll tell you what happened also during the New York game. That same group of people walked away with a couple of our banners. And when they do that, what that means is that they are there to collect an experience, to put their pictures up on Facebook, to show their friends, hey, look where I was. I was in this real part of Columbus.
It's part of the Columbus bucket list.
Right. And I took this. And now it's hanging on my wall. And there's a particular person who comes frequently who does this.
Yep.
I think we all know who he is. And the time is coming that something bad is going to happen. And I don't – and that's not a threat. I'm just saying I'm trying to head this off, because you have to teach what this means to these people. Otherwise, they do stuff like that, and it's going to cause a big problem.
Justin, just next time it happens, explain to them that they're taking the spot of a woman who will take her shirt off.
No.
That's a really good ad.
Yes. We have the pictures to prove it.
You are taking the spot of someone who's
going
to take their clothes off.
I love it when school's back in session.
See, Jim, this is why you're here. You teach.
Well, two things. Do you notice that only apparently happens in Toronto games?
It really, yeah.
Well, that happened at a New York game.
No, did it? No, this no, just happened.
Oh,
the shirt thing was last week.
Oh, the shirt thing.
Yeah, but here's the...
Yeah, that's true.
Here's the thing. We have, if I'm not mistaken, we have 5 home and 5 away left, right? Mm-hmm.
No.
Yes.
Why don't we take, since we know this is pretty much a crapshoot at this point, why don't we take those 5 games and the OGs and the people who are regular, take the time, we'll cheer for the team still, mm-hmm. but take the time to show a new person how to do it right.
Yeah.
So this is my call out to everybody else, is that if you see a person next to you or around you that does not know how to do it, be like, hey, let me show you this is what we do down here. And if you want to be down here and you want to be part of something bigger... I won't even say massive. If you want to be something part of something bigger and truly be a supporter as opposed to just an attender of the game, hey, let me show you how we do it.
Yeah,
right. One of the problem though is there's a lot of resentment, I think, between some of these little pockets of people who have been around for a while, and there's some people who are kind of new, but who think they know things.
Right.
And so when you tell them that they don't know things, they get a little upset with you.
Well,
and
you know what?
They're starting to be like this thing in the Nordeca that I don't really like. That is that it's a little hard to move about and not get looks from people, or like not get like a not not that's not the right word.
Yeah, there's a whole lot of tribalism.
Tribalism is a very good word.
Right. This is my section. This is our section. Two things
you know
real quick,
Sam.
You
know what I found Sam? That's really good about that?
What's that?
Not giving a damn.
Exactly. Yeah. I was going to say,
I have a large helping of that every single...
First of all, screw those people. And secondly, that's the entire reason that I was like, screw it, I'm going to go to the front row this game, is because I wanted it to... go down and teach Chance and lead Chance. And the guy in front of me, who was I was actually standing on the front row bench, the guy standing on the ground in the front row, had an homage shirt, an homage scarf, and an homage hat on. And at first I was like, oh, this is going to be awesome. But then the guy was in full voice the entire game.
Good.
So it's nothing against people who buy their gear at homage. It's against people who buy their gear at homage and don't realize they're buying crew gear and only do it because it's on the Columbus bucket list. You can buy your scarf at homage. That's totally cool. It's don't buy your scarf in homage and then stay in the front row only so you can get your photo taken in your homage scarf.
I agree completely. We'll be back. Segment 3 coming up. This once again, live from Hendox, the Massive Report. Back segment 3 on the Massive Report. Does anybody notice the theme for tonight's show?
Zombies.
Yes.
Yay.
Zombies. No.
Do I win a prize?
No. That wasn't the theme.
Oh.
It's okay.
It's the time of the season.
It's Jonathan Coleman.
Oh. I don't know who that is.
He's amazing. He's hilarious. Yeah. Yeah. I'm just saying. I did promise a couple people that we were going to do an all Jonathan Coleman intro show. So I figure we do it at one point or another. Today seems like a good enough day.
I approve.
I dropped Dan Bidmeter off at the airport earlier today. Very sad. Very, very sad day. So I want to get into this a little bit. We talked about this off the air a bit earlier, but Robert Warzyha's contract is up at the end of this year.
What? Yes.
I know. Weird.
Shocking news.
Shocking news that nobody knew was going to happen.
Breaking news on the Mass Report podcast.
What will we do then?
But there are, apparently there are coaches that are available.
There are other coaches whose contracts are expiring at the end of the year who have not been renewed.
Yes. So I wanted to kind of just go on that for a second. One of them, we have it a play next week.
Yes.
Yeah. So, Larry, I want to start with you.
Okay.
Because you're way smarter than us.
All right. Puts me
but
under
what do you do if you're Anthony Precourt, if you're Mark McCullers? And by the way, happy birthday to Mark McCullers, and happy birthday, apparently, in a couple of days to Robert Warzyha as
tomorrow.
Well.
Tomorrow's his
50th. I'm sure he listens often.
Oh, he listens all the time.
So, but Larry, what do you think?
Well, I mean, obviously they're going to make a change.
Yeah.
Are you talking about Jason
Kreese? I mean, we're talking about Jason Kreese. Yeah. His contract's up at the end of the year, and he's not been renewed.
Well, I think it'd be silly for Anthony Precourt not to take a look.
Yeah.
Because of what he was able to do with Real Salt Lake. And, you know, maybe Real Salt Lake is looking for a change to freshen it up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And or the crew can pay him more. I mean, that's give him a different challenge.
Well, at this point, I mean, with Precourt, we don't know
how
deep he wants his pockets to be.
No.
Which is different than how deep his pockets are, we know he's got a lot of money.
The thing is, you know, when looking for a coach of his caliber, you got to do it now.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't seem like now is what's happening. That's not necessarily a bad thing, I don't think. But
we don't want to tamper as well. We don't want to end up like Seattle.
Yeah, we don't want to be like Seattle.
Yeah,
nobody wants to be like
we
Seattle.
Don't have a plastic pitch. We could never be like Seattle.
Well, yeah, that's a good
point. We also don't travel to England in the summers to learn how their fans work.
Yeah.
Magnets, how do they work?
He has to put the feelers out and say, you know, this is the kind of coach that we want. He hasn't done that sort of thing yet. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it seems like he's waiting to see what happens, and we won't know anything until the off season.
Yeah.
I would like a big name like that.
Yeah.
For the crew, it would generate a lot of excitement, and, you know, people obviously respond to that, you know, at the gate.
Yeah. What do you think, Justin?
Well, Jason Christ, I think, could... That would be an amazing coup.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be... Just the amount of money I think that it would take to get him away would be incredible. The one coach that keeps coming up in my mind as a possibility, and Sam might have a lot of thought on this, like some input on this, is that Bob Bradley...
No.
What's
not until after the World Cup, please.
Well, I mean, we know there's a lot of stuff going on right now in Egypt, and you don't really know what's going to happen. And I still think they have a play-in game to get to the World Cup, correct? They have to play
home and away.
Yeah, against who? South Africa? I can't remember. It's I can't
you
remember.
Think it's like Ghana or
yeah.
Guinea.
Mm-hmm.
Guinea.
Wow.
Okay.
So
way to be on the spot, Ryan.
Yeah.
Thanks,
so
Ryan.
If something were to happen,
yeah,
and he does not have a job coaching, or is he doesn't want to stay there.
I heard Egypt's lovely this time of year.
Egypt's a wonderful place.
It's better during the winter.
Better during the winter? Okay,
also
fair enough.
When there's not a revolution going on.
But yeah. I think
people are not shooting.
Yeah.
I think that would be a really good... That would be a good test for our new ownership group. Can you go get somebody like that and bring them back? Because that would change things. That would totally change things to have someone like Bob Bradley come and coach the Columbus crew.
I'm just going
to
put this out there. That was a comment about the heat and not the current political climate in Egypt. So I apologize to our Egyptian producer who wants to punch me in the face right now.
My comment was about the political climate.
Fair enough.
And
all
I'm
right.
closer to
but
him
there
than
are a
you.
Lot of,
yeah.
There are a lot of other people who I think are in that same mode.
It, mm-hmm. it brings up the first question to answer is, are they looking to get someone of that caliber? Or are they looking just to bring, for the next year, just to bring somebody already on the coaching staff up? I mean, that's the hurdle I can't get over before I start saying, oh, they're going to make a major signing.
Well, and the other question that begs is, do you spend that kind of money on a coach like Bob Bradley, let's say, or do you spend that kind of money on a player who is also going to command a high salary? Do you spend your money on a coach, or do you spend your money on a player?
Well, we don't even know if we necessarily have to make that.
That's true.
Make that choice.
That's a
point.
Very good point.
I don't know. I don't know what Anthony Precourt wants to spend on this team because
it would probably have to come from point. Whatever funds he has.
Yeah,
because it's pretty obvious the crew don't have it.
Yeah.
You know, have the money to go out and buy another big player or a big coach.
Well, the Breakaway Music Festival could sell a lot of beer and
with Bass Nectar.
Yeah,
can
Bass
somebody
Nectar.
Who works? I know that there are certain employees from the Columbus crew that work. I'm sorry, that listen to this podcast.
Hi, Phil.
Could one of you please send Dwight an email or go knock on his office door? Or just get word to him that it's Bass Nectar and not Bass Nectar. That'd
Chris,
be awesome.
Chris is a huge fan.
Delicious.
Not
bass.
Even that. It's just that every time he says Bass Nectar, it makes us look like amateurs.
That's the one thing you're calling out. Then.
That's the one thing you're calling out.
Get it right.
That's the battle you've picked.
Or pay the price.
But
yes, that's the battle that I've chosen.
I think
everything else is a lost cause.
Let's have a giant bass depot.
Hey, can somebody grab
a
me
bass, a bass being wrung out?
We have Elaine,
just drips coming down, and that's Bass Nectar.
Was it Elaine Newman on Saturday Night Live, the first episode, first season of Saturday Live, out of the Bass-O-Matic? Lorraine Newman.
Yeah. Can somebody loan me a bass drum for the USA Mexico game, please?
Yeah, but I think
this is going downhill fast.
Yeah, I think having a high paid coach of good stature.
Yeah.
I think that brings better players.
Yeah.
And I look at what was the name of the? Oh, I can't remember. But looking at the Gold Cup team for this past year.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was thinking to myself, none of these players would ever come play for Columbus. Not a single one of these players would come play for the Columbus crew under this leadership.
Yeah.
This front office and this coaching staff and the past ownership. Now we have new ownership. Now we need a new front office, and now we need a new coaching staff. And if you can get those things, I think you can start to bring players of that quality to Columbus. I don't see ever see a player like Eddie Johnson coming to Columbus.
Or
I don't see a player like
but there's
like what's his face from Ross Salt Lake?
Cole Grossman.
But those players, no, no. But those players will play.
No. The guy, my mind is totally going blank today.
Beckerman. Yeah.
I don't think you would ever see a player like Kyle Beckerman coming to play for the Columbus Crew unless you get a coach like Jason Kreis.
But you look at Columbus, and we'll go Columbus and Salt Lake just because we're playing them next week. Mm-hmm. There is not a whole lot of difference.
Cole Grossman.
City-wise, between Columbus and Salt Lake, with the exception of swap out the mountains for archaic liquor laws, and that's the positive and negative when you get Columbus, or when you look at Salt Lake and light rail, Mayor
Public
Coleman, get on that.
Right.
It's all about the club, and it's all about the culture that club has created, and that's why it's so desirable for a lot of these guys to go to Salt Lake when it's not.
The drummer from Rancid is a season ticket holder in Salt Lake.
Yeah.
The drummer from Flogging Molly is a season ticket holder in Columbus.
Yeah.
And who was the band where
and
the
Flogging
drummer...
Molly's been good since 2005.
Oh!
So...
Who was the band the other day that the drummer...
How Come the
was
Wolves
it,
was amazing.
It wasn't Weezer. It was some other band was playing some random concert somewhere in middle America, and their drummer walked out on stage wearing a Crew jersey. Somebody help me out with this.
The Killers did that
in
Columbus.
That was here.
Was that here?
Yeah, it was in Columbus.
That's how much I follow the Killers.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I think you caught out a big thing. A big word is the culture.
Yeah.
Because one thing that will stick in my mind for the rest of this year, it stuck in my mind all year, was that stupid Grant Wall article at the beginning of the year.
Stupid Grant Wall.
He drives me nuts because it's just all this sort of pundit kind of stuff. And he interviewed a handful of anonymous players. And, they pretty much singled out FC Dallas and the Columbus Crew as the two places they didn't want to play.
Yeah.
And that's not because of the city or anything like that. I mean, there's... Columbus is a great city. For me, I love Columbus. I'm not here from here or anything like that. It's the culture of the franchise, and that's what came out in his article. And the players, they respond negatively to that.
Yeah.
They respond negatively to a bad culture.
I have a comment about that. I'm certainly not going to say that Columbus isn't a great city because I love Columbus, and I think Columbus is a great city. But I think that Columbus is a great city almost universally to people who have lived in Columbus. But it's very difficult to convince people who have not spent much time here that it is a great city.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
It's almost like Invasion of the Body Snatchers. It's like people from outside Columbus must think that we get here and then we're like replaced by pod people who think Columbus is a great city. But it is.
That didn't happen to you guys?
No,
that's weird.
No.
I don't know what you're talking about.
one of us, Uba Gaba.
But I think, not to disagree with Larry, but I think that one of the problems is that Columbus is a great city, but unless you've lived here, it's difficult to see why it is such a great city.
Right.
Yeah. Or unless you have a close personal friendship with Guillermo Barros Schelotto.
Yeah.
Because he's going to sell anybody that he can on the fact that, Federico Higuaín, for example.
Yeah, but that's not easy to do, and it's
right. No, I know what you're saying
for Europeans or people who have played a lot in Europe and who see places like Toronto or Seattle or San Francisco,
New York,
DC,
Chicago, Philly.
One thing about that too
everywhere.
Is that
just listen everywhere.
Houston.
Yeah, every other city in the league, with the exception of San Jose. Yeah.
Well, one thing about that too is the conception of the major league city.
Yeah.
Oh God.
And to me that's such a it's just a nothing statement, because what it means is you have a team that is involved in one of four particular leagues, and going back to the mid 90s, that was one of the major priorities of this city was to become known as a quote-unquote major league city.
Yeah.
And so they went and they, basically tried to recruit the NHL to bring a team here so that they could have that status.
Yeah.
Well, it's been almost 20 years since then, and we're still fighting that fight, right? Where Columbus is not viewed as a quote-unquote major league city.
Well, the only options, the only options that Columbus had and has really were the... were MLS and the NHL.
Right.
And it was because you look at, you know, you're not going to get a Major League Baseball team in Columbus.
Nope.
That's never going to happen. You're not getting
We ain't got no baseball team.
We ain't got no baseball team. There's not going to be an NFL team in
Columbus.
We
ain't got no football
team. We ain't got no football team. It's going to be very difficult to convince the NBA. I know Mayor Coleman had the whole thing about trying to get the Sacramento Kings.
I think the NBA might be an outside shot, but I don't rule
with,
them
with
out.
With the Cavs and the Pacers,
would you
being
say it would be a
3-point
shot?
Yeah.
No, I would say it would be a college 3-point.
I could see the Pittsburgh Pisces existing before Columbus gets
film.
Yeah, the fish who saved Pittsburgh. Come on. But I can see them existing before a Columbus NBA team. Just because you're so close to Indianapolis and Cleveland.
Right. You're exactly right.
You're forgetting about Major League Lacrosse.
They're in Delaware.
They're in Delaware.
If we go back to
what about the Laundry Football League?
What Larry was saying about the culture.
Yeah.
And, you know, at the first season ticket holder meeting this year, the very first question that was asked at that meeting.
It was Scott Whitler.
Scott Whitler asked.
Friend of the show.
A very important, maybe the most important question of the entire season. And he asked it straight to Mark McCullers and Robert Warzia. And he called them out on what you were talking about, Grant Wall's piece. He's like, no one wants to come here. The coaching staff basically is subpar.
They're running people away.
Yeah, he went through a litany of things. And the defensiveness from that podium was thick.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a wall that went up.
He was standing at his podium trying to watch his sodium.
But they were absolutely 100%. Opposed to everything that came out of his mouth, and each one of those points that Scott Whitler brought up in that question were valid concerns.
Yeah,
totally valid concerns. And the lack of receptiveness to any of those concerns, was so telling to me. And it gets to, I think, what Larry is talking about with the culture around this club. If Anthony Precourt can do anything this year, like in the next few months, it is to start to change that. And I know that this is, a lot of people disagree with this. I still think you need to clean this out. You need to change.
Absolutely.
All of the top people in this organization need to be moved out.
Mm-hmm.
It's nothing, I think they could be very capable people at other places. But right here, right now, it's not working. And it hasn't worked for a long time. We've been aware of this. And when we bring up concerns, we're called we're marginalized. We're called the slice of the core. I mean, these are lessons that did not need to be learned by bringing in a new ownership group. These are lessons that they should have known a long, long time ago
if they were paying attention.
Well, but that's the problem, is that we were an afterthought to Hunt Sports Group.
Right.
They were very, very excited when we won the MLS Cup in 2008, and they said, "Sweet, that's cool." And then they put up the statue of Lamar. In 2011, I think that was, maybe 2012. I can't remember. And that's pretty much Hunt Sports Group's involvement, other than just making sure
just
that the lights stayed on.
Yeah, I think the one thing that we have noticed so far that I'm sure Mr. Precourt has a hand in is that and I know this is going to seem petty, and you're going to think I'm joking, but once I say it, you're going to be like, yeah, he's right. The number of burnout light bulbs that are noticeable at Crew Stadium has drastically reduced since Anthony Precourt took ownership. They may not have actually changed the light bulbs in the east and west score matrix boards that are on the front of the upper decks, but they changed what those boards display so that the number of burnout light bulbs is not as noticeable as it used to be. Which, yes, maybe a small thing.
It's a Six Sigma thing, isn't it?
No, yeah, exactly. but he's done something small, and I'm sure that he said to somebody, "Holy crap, why do we have burnout light bulbs? We're next door to a Lowe's store." And
because the Lowe's credit account was exceeding
And he talked to the people that he needed to talk to about getting those boards changed so that number of matrix bulbs that are burnt out is less noticeable to the casual fans and TV viewers that watch one or two games a year.
Yeah.
Which is the first step in making the team look like it gives a crap about what's going on inside the stadium that it owns.
At the very least, it's whoever's
running the scoreboard, it's like doesn't want to look bad.
Yeah.
So they're like, I better change something.
I do like the fact that we still, for the past year and a half at this point, have not had any burnout dasher boards.
Yes.
I do want to give the grounds crew props on that because that's big. What are we looking at here?
We're looking at Sammy's fortune cookie.
Wow.
It's very prescient.
This is deep. Sam's fortune cookie from his weekly Chinese
segment,
food.
Yes, right.
This is his weekly.
It's always relevant to the segment. I can't help that.
It's always darkest before dawn in bed.
Really?
Not the in bed part. I added that.
Oh, okay.
It's always darkest before dawn.
In a Volkswagen.
Yes, in a Volkswagen.
Taste of Orient coming through again.
Taste of Orient is awesome. They should be a sponsor of the show.
They totally should.
They really should. I would love
if
that.
If only
I would love
somebody
that.
Would walk over there once yeah. a week and talk to them.
Yeah, no, Sam.
Sam.
Why don't you sell some ads? You slacker. So we're going to come back in a little bit here, and we're going to hit segment number four, talk a little Salt Lake. Okay. That's on the way. What, do we have another one?
When you're eating Chinese food and talking about Salt Lake, it's MSG Lake.
Wow, the other one that Jim got or somebody, there will be... Oh, Chris got...
No, it was mine.
Oh, it was Jim's. Jim. I'm sorry. Okay, there will be someone sharing your warmth in bed.
In a Volkswagen.
Oh, we're going to come back in just a second. Segment number four on the way, live at Hendox. Once again, it's the Massive Report. We're back. Segment four, Massive Report. Live at Hendox. I've given Willie a series of instructions that he must follow before the end of this segment.
You should probably mention who Willie is.
Willie is the best bartender in Columbus, is who Willie is. But Willie, hopefully by the end of this segment, will have created a drink called a Sonic Screwdriver. And we'll be able to enjoy those at the Salt Lake away game. You have a Willie story, and then we'll get into the Salt Lake away game.
I don't. Justin does.
Oh, yeah, Justin. I'm sorry. Justin does. I apologize.
No, at the last game, we were up 1-0, and I was standing up at the top of the Nordica for a brief moment.
Uh huh.
And
because you had to pee.
Yeah, pretty much. And and Iguain scored the chip, his second chip in two games. And I feel this, like, tap on my back, and I turn... Like, everyone's going crazy. I feel this tap on my back, and turn around, and it's Willie.
Yeah.
And Willie gave me the best high five of the game. It was so great. He's like, he did it again.
And Willie does give fantastic high fives.
Yeah, it was awesome to see Willie at the game.
Yeah. No, it's good.
Going crazy.
It's good. So, Salt Lake away. Place that, until recently, not a whole lot of success. We did see the elusive Bernardo Inor hat trick in Salt Lake a couple
right.
of years ago. The score a goal, get an assist, and get a yellow.
Yeah.
What do you guys think is going to happen? Because, like I said, I'm cautiously optimistic. I think that's my new buzzword. That's my new just everything about the crew at this point. I'm cautiously optimistic. But, Larry, we'll go to you first because you're smart. And then we could just riff on whatever you say for the next 10 minutes.
They got a good thing going. And yeah. I don't think it's out of their own possibility that they could, you know, pull off a good result here.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, we were talking you know, during the break, I mean, they have a couple. They have a game between now and then.
Yeah.
And it's against a very good team in Portland. And they're playing away. Is that right?
What's that?
Are they playing away? This
In Salt Lake, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, it's something. This is a definitely a game they need to win, and it's a game they can win. And if they can take the next two games that they've won and roll with the momentum, you know, who knows what can happen. Salt Lake's a better team. I mean, there's no sugarcoating that.
Yeah.
And, you know, if they're a little bit tired, and you know, Beckerman, you know, if he's a little nicked up and he's not playing, Higuain and Arrieta and Anor will find space in the middle and will be able to make something happen. Salt Lake's not going to put 3-4 goals up. There's no guarantee there. So, you know, it's a win.
What do you think, Justin?
Yeah, one game at a time. One game at a time. You see what happens. I mean, cautiously optimistic is a good way to put it. Robert's found his lineup that he's going to. It's going to be his lineup until we lose.
That's the way it works.
Nothing's going to change. Bernardo Anor is. I think he has changed this team more than Will Trapp gets a lot of credit.
Yeah,
and he should. He's playing very well, especially for a young kid. Bernardo Anor has done some really good things playing in that attacking central midfielder role. There was an article that came out about, I can't remember who wrote it, but it was about how they finally found a defensive midfielder in Will Trapp, and he's filled that role. That they listed all of the players that have played that role, that spot, over the last 10 years, like Kevin Burns and Emmanuel Ekpo, and I mean Moffitt, just like going through this list of players, like, oh, I remember that guy. And so Will Trapp is now there. And I think he's doing well in that role, particularly because of Bernardo Anor being a threat in front of him. And so players haven't, opponents really haven't had a chance, had an opportunity to kind of key on him. We might see that in Salt Lake.
Anor's one of those players that's hard to do that with, though.
Yeah.
You know, he's able to do so many different things. And I think we've talked about it here before. Sammy and I have.
Yeah.
Where, you know, he is a soccer player. He's a footballer. He knows how to play the game. And you can put him somewhere, and he's creative.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, one of the things to look out for this weekend, too, it might separate Lampson and, in particular, Trapp, is that, you know, these young guys, the crew always put them in there, the Ben Spies and the Mirams. And once they go on the road for a game or two, all of a sudden that shine is gone.
Yeah.
And they make mistakes, and somehow Warzea finds them back on the bench. And so the next couple of games will be key for Trapp, because you know, both those guys are local kids. They're playing at home in front of their family, in front of their friends, and I think one of the announcers actually talked about Trapp going home to macaroni and cheese or something like that. I don't know if anybody listening remembers that, but I thought it was kind of embarrassing for Trapp. But, yeah. You know, get them a couple games on the road, and you know, but it's a great opportunity for Lampson and Trapp to shine. So,
do you think, you know, because we saw this last year with Higuain, especially after that New England game when he lit New England up last year, all of a sudden teams really keyed in on him, and it was much harder for him to make plays. Well, the last two games, he scored 4 goals. Yeah. If you're Jason Kreis and you're not looking at keying in on Higuain, you're dumb, and he's definitely not a dumb guy. Do you think that's going to limit his effectiveness? Do you think, because the offense seems to go through him, in the majority of time? What do you think? How do you think the crew should counterbalance that?
You know, it's one of those things. Justin kind of touched on it. You know, you might have to make a slight adjustment because we've seen this lineup for a couple games, and he's going to trot it out again, no doubt. And you know, Real Salt Lake, there's a lot of good players. I mean, we're looking at the lineup right now.
Yeah.
These guys are not dumb, and they're very talented. And they have a couple games to work with, so they know what Trapp's able to do. They know what Anor is able to do and Higuain, and they're going to key in on that. If they don't make any changes, they'll lose.
Yeah.
I mean, those are my thoughts on it. I mean, we got Grabovoi, Lewis Gill, Morales. I mean, this is a really good team.
It is. And Raimondo, definitely in that solid keeper. Complains a lot on Twitter, but solid keeper.
Probably not going to find him off his line too often either.
Yeah, so. No.
Right.
That's the other thing. I mean, I don't think there's going to be another chip. Well, I would love it if there is. I would laugh my ass off, but I just don't think that's going to happen.
That's a very good point, is that, you know, Robert's going to, like we said, everybody has said, and we all agree, that Robert's going to trot out the same 11 guys.
Yeah.
And I don't think there's a problem with that. The problem is going to arise when no one else steps up and scores a goal.
Yeah.
Someone else is going to have to get the goal production this time, because Jason Kreis is not going to let Federico Higuain run ramshod. Oh, God, there are shots being delivered.
Oh, dear Lord.
Apparently these are sonic screwdrivers.
Right. Is not going to let Federico Higuain run a ramshot over his team. And so someone else, be it a Bernardo Anor or a Dominic Aduro or a Iro Arrieta.
Who bought all these?
Or anyone else.
This is a sample. Wait, we're missing one. Larry doesn't have one.
We have two.
Oh, no, there's one. Oh, never mind. I'm sorry. Here we go.
We need two more at least.
Someone else is going to have to step up and create some goals. And Federico Higuain might create the chance, but between now and Saturday at 7:30 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, someone else is going to have Mountain Daylight Time. Someone else is going to have to learn how to finish a shot.
In order for that to happen, though, do you think that they have to make changes? I mean...
I think not
changes in the lineup, but changes in their tactics. I
mean, yes, absolutely.
Before Federico Higuain scored the second goal, we were up 1-0, and it was what, about the 60th minute of the 65th minute of the match,
mm-hmm. something around there,
around
yeah.
there. And we look up and we see Roberts making a substitution.
Right. Yeah.
And we're like, whoa, he's making a substitution.
Holy crap!
This early.
Proactive.
It's proactive.
Yeah.
And we were just talking. We need to get a second goal. We need to get a second. I mean, it's the way that this team plays. You cannot trust a 1-0 lead.
No.
And it's Danny O'Rourke.
Yeah. Well,
it's Danny O'Rourke on for Justin Merrim. And we thought, here we go, Bobby Ball rearing its ugly head.
Park the bus.
And not 2 minutes later, we score.
Yeah, and right. Danny, because Danny creates
because of Danny.
Danny creates
right.
that.
So, and I, you know, and I immediately said, "I'm sorry, right? I doubted you, Robert or Zia." I mean, that was a great substitution. It was the proper one.
It was a smart move.
It changed the game. It really did.
As I think we have said on this podcast several times, even a blind squirrel will find a nut.
yeah.
Broken clocks.
And I think that Bobby has moments of absolute brilliance.
Was Bobby up all night to get lucky?
I think sometimes he really does. He either puts a game plan that's absolutely brilliant, or he makes a substitution that everybody's like, oh my gosh! But somehow it really works out in his favor. Yeah. I did have somebody say, do you think this affects his standing in possible renewal? And I said, absolutely not. Because it is still against Toronto. So...
He
will run
into
the nut every once
in a while. All right, guys. Real quick pause in the podcast. We're apologizing to anyone who's listening, but this is what happens
Steve.
You don't show up for the podcast.
You don't get shots.
You don't get free shots. Sonic Screwdriver. Let's give this a taste.
Wow, that tastes
like
Kool-Aid.
That.
Yeah, Kool-Aid.
Yeah, it's actually really good.
I'm in.
Yeah,
that's a dangerously seductive thing.
Willie just
went. I'm also super concerned on who bought those.
I have to say that I did see Willie sneak out the front and totally drain that car of windshield wiper fluid.
Windex is delicious.
Windex.
No, you're exactly right.
We roll it awesome town.
Every now and then, Robert does do something that defies all rationale, and it turns out to be the right thing. And I think the Danny O'Rourke substitution is the perfect example. We all went, oh, great, he's going to park the bus. Here comes Danny. We're going to play with two holding mids. And then Danny, in spite of Robert's tactics, which I'm sure were Danny go into the game and break somebody's kneecap and hold the midfield down, Danny stole the ball from a Toronto player whose name doesn't matter because he plays for Toronto, and then turned offensively and looked up the field, which I'm sure Robert went, no! and then made a couple of passes.
He's
and
take a shot!
Right. Higuain ends up scoring the goal. But I think that those types of things are the things that need to happen, either because of or in spite of Robert Arrieta. These guys need to take the ball and turn up the field. And somebody else needs to learn how to finish other than... And that's the difference between the last two games and this game in Salt Lake that I think we're all agree on is somebody else has to do it because Higuain's not going to be able to do it himself.
You know, he only has so many of those goals in him.
Right.
And so many of those games. Somebody else is going to have to.
Mm-hmm. And I don't care if it is Danny O'Rourke that runs up the field and takes shots. I just want somebody else on the team taking shots.
But one thing about Danny O'Rourke, real quick, is that you know he's having a fantastic season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he is. Absolutely.
You know, outside of he's always nicked up, but for him to be your option coming off the bench in the 60th minute when you're up 1-0, I mean that's a dream player for a lot of teams.
Oh, totally.
To be coming off the bench.
I agree.
Yeah, he's having a great year. And if they were parking the bus, maybe they didn't have another goal. He's the perfect guy to bring in.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with that.
The one thing that I think that we're all missing here is the Chad Marshall experience, if you will. We
that
had
was a show at Cedar Point. When I was
sure that it was.
Weird.
It was right after the Snoopy show, right? we haven't seen any goals or enough goals. He may have one goal this year, but I'm pretty sure he's got zero. Chad needs to step his game up and produce. I don't want to call the guy out because he's holding the back line down and taking ownership for the defense. But we need him, especially this Salt Lake game, we need him to use his big blonde noggin and put some balls in the back of the net. And I think that's the one thing this team is missing that we have seen in the past is the production from defenders on set pieces in the offensive third.
If there's one thing that we lost when Glauber went down was the danger on set pieces.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
Josh Williams, he's not getting headers now. It's just because he was another big target
exactly.
that they had to mark.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that, you know, we saw Marshall last game get a pretty good opportunity. Mm-hmm. Those were happening on a regular basis.
Right.
You know, before Glauber.
And the only reason I'm calling Chad out is because he's the only one on the team that's 6'4 and can jump over everybody else.
He's getting closer.
His last
two games... Yeah. The headers have gotten much closer.
And you can tell that he's hungry and he needs it, but at the same time, he needs to put the ball in the net and not just get a glancing shot off the 6 inches outside
the ball.
And have as much ground to cover anyway. Pocket picked. Arrieta. Higuain. Federico goes for the chip again. Oh, baby.
And that pocket picked, that was Danny O'Rourke picking
Danny
somebody's
O'Rourke,
pocket.
Yeah. Danny O'Rourke to Arrieta, Arrieta to Higuain, Higuain in.
And the key isn't that Danny O'Rourke picked someone's pocket. Yeah, sure, that's awesome. The key is that Danny O'Rourke picked a pocket and then looked offensive instead of looking to drop it back and reset.
Yeah.
Danny went for blood. He went for the throat.
Yeah.
And that needs to happen so much more often. How many times have we seen a crew attack killed by a midfielder turning, you know, running into opposition and turning around and back pass to Matt or Andy.
Yeah.
That has to stop.
Do you think that happens this weekend? Like, say, hypothetically, they go up 1-0. Mm-hmm. Okay. Do you think that they keep going for it, or do you think that they're really just going to park it?
Robert's about winning now.
Yeah,
well,
Robert's
no,
about winning now.
I'm going to say that it has absolutely zero things to do with Robert. I think that this is a team that is now captained, led. Those shots were really good.
Unleaded.
Captained, led, and carried by Federico Higuain, who has at some point grabbed everyone on the team by the back of the neck and said, "Why are you back passing? We need to go forward."
Yeah.
And
I agree.
So, yeah, Larry, to answer your question, I don't think that happens, and I think that it's in spite of Robert. Robert is probably coaching these guys to play safe and maintain possession. But the team itself is deciding not to do that.
All right, let's do score predictions real quick. We're going to start with Chris. We'll go around the table that way.
2-2 tie.
2-2 tie.
All that I just said, tie.
Justin.
We're going to win 3-2.
3-2. Wow.
I think a lot depends on how their midweek game goes.
Yeah.
I think that a draw. I think
a draw.
Yep, low scoring draw.
All right. Yeah. That's fair. I'm thinking 2-1 crew.
Boom.
I'm feeling very cautiously optimistic. Sam, what do you think?
1-1.
1-1 tie? All right. That's
generally
what we got.
That's what 1-1 means at a time.
Well, yeah. Thanks. I was repeating because you are not on the mic. Thank you very
Sam
much.
Sam would just sort of turn him over like 1-1-3.
And then that shot hit Sam a lot harder than I thought it did. For everybody out at Hen Docs tonight, for Sam, for Justin, for Chris, for Larry, for Jim Bach, who was here earlier, my name is Matt Goshard. This has been another edition of the Massive Report Podcast. Always take a banana to the party, Rose. Bananas are good.